Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo. Today, I have a recent Firebird Book Award winner to share with you. She is Aurora Lothbrook, and the winning book is titled The Mermaid of Lake Superior. Aurora was born and raised in northern Minnesota and began her lightsaber training at Michigan Tech, where she studied biology, and continued onward to the University of Iowa to study pharmacy. Her love of the outdoors and penchant for adventure took her north to Alaska, where she resides with her hubby, dog, and internet-famous cats Nebula and Gamora, as seen in Newsweek and The Dodo. And her favorite hobby is roller derby. Obviously, we've got a lot to talk about here. I can't wait to find out more. Welcome to the network, yeah. Aurora.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome, and congratulations on winning the Firebird Book Award.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited, too. I love to share that kind of news. It just spurs everybody on to keep writing.
Yeah.
It really does. All right, well, before we dig into your books, I have a couple of things I want to talk about personally. Internet famous cats. How did that come about?
So I made a TikTok account to promote my book. And basically, all I've been doing is posting my cats and pretty pictures of Alaska. So I took my cats to the vet, and Nebula was a little bit naughty. She was getting examined, and she leaned over and bit the vet. So I made a video about how they behaved at the vet, and that she sent an I'm sorry card to the vet with funny pictures on it. And it pretty much broke the internet. So
I saw that.
Nebula went viral. Yeah.
I saw that. I just loved it. It's so hilarious. I have 13 cats of my own, so I know.
Oh my God.
Weird cat behavior.
Yeah. I mean, you can't control them. They're going to do what they want. And Nebula is actually the inspiration for the cat in my book. It's a supporting role, but she's in there.
So fun that you could incorporate all that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I keep an eye out for your continued success with your internet famous cats. Oh my gosh. And I also loved your dedication in your book to your husband that you say where that the book is proof that you actually were writing and not shopping online.
Yeah, he kept saying, "What are you doing on your computer?" And I'm like, "I'm writing a book." And he didn't believe me. And anytime we get an Amazon package, he'd be like, "You're just shopping. I know that's what you're doing." I proved him wrong.
You did. So you showed him the award and said, "Look, don't doubt me again," right? Finally, I also want to know why one should not consume bananas while reading your book.
I don't know if it's an Alaska thing, and I don't entirely know the origin of it. But if you bring bananas on a book, I can't even talk this morning. It's 6:30 a.m. If you bring bananas on a boat, it's bad luck. So I have a couple friends with fishing boats, and if you pack your lunch and there's a banana, they're either not going to let you on the boat or you're going to be leaving your lunch on shore.
Don't they ship bananas on a boat?
I mean, I would assume so, and those boats probably have lots of bad luck.
Oh, good grief. All right. Well,
and you know, moose actually do like bananas.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. I fed a moose a banana at the Alaska Zoo, and his name was Delbert, which is also in my book.
Oh my gosh, you are so funny. You incorporate all of this into everything. I love this. Oh yeah. My gosh. Okay. Well, we got a lot of stuff to think about here. Let's get talking about your book. When I first picked up your book and read what it was about, it took me to the Edmund Fitzgerald and the iconic Gordon Lightfoot song. So I've been singing that in my head all week in preparation for this conversation. So if I break out in song, you'll know what's going on.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, tell us a bit. Why ships and shipwrecks and mermaids? How did all of that come about to create a book? What made you think, I've got to put this in a book form?
So I never thought I would write a book, but I had a dream one day about a mermaid injured on the rocky North Shore. And it's a very iconic setting. Like, if you see that in a dream, you know exactly what it is. And it just stuck with me all morning. And it was summertime, and I was like, well, okay, I guess I'll just start writing this scene down because it sounds kind of cool. And the characters just kind of developed in my mind right away, inspired by friends and family, of course. And the book basically just wrote itself. And I knew I would be taking it to Isle Royale because that was kind of my dream vacation, and my dad took me there on a fishing trip. So everything I saw there inspired different parts of the story. And once you start researching the history of the island and the shipwreck, it feels like that's a story in itself. So I took tidbits of the history and wove it into my characters. So it kind of has a historical fiction aspect to it as well. So from there, I combined everything that I love, science, fun history facts, nature, fantasy. I watch a lot of sci-fi shows. And you'll just find pop culture references everywhere in there. Lord of the Rings, Stargate, Firefly. Got a cult following. I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
Yes. Yes.
So I felt it was really important to include Indigenous history in the book as well, just because of how important it is regionally.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, the Battle of the Mermaid Faces is kind of symbolic of struggle that some communities face to get access to fresh water, and can hopefully kind of inspire and uplift voices that are trying to protect our precious water resources.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think of it, you know, our bodies are composed of water. We are made of water, and it's what gives us life. So I kind of found a bigger purpose in writing this really fun story.
Yes, it's an interesting combination of social issues, a nod, as you say, to the first Indigenous people, honoring the legacy of those who perished in shipwrecks in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just gives us a look at so many issues. So when you were writing it, was there a specific message that you wanted to convey?
I think it was just that I wanted to tell a story, because this was right after the pandemic when I started writing. I wanted to tell a story that would be really fun for my friends and family to read. But I also had this in the back of my mind. My purpose was environmental stewardship and taking care of the planet.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, maybe then give us a peek into the book so those listening can get an idea of what they might expect when they get a copy of your book.
So right away, there's kind of a land acknowledgement, and then there's a little forward message from a character named Shirley. And Shirley provides history tidbits and Midwestern niceties in the footnotes. So that's where you'll find a lot of the fun history facts. And then the book goes into kind of the scene I had in my dream. And overall, it's a journey about self-discovery and friendship and fighting for the greater good. So we all know Lake Superior is home to hundreds of shipwrecks. The number is debatable, but only one mermaid. And her name is H. She doesn't know where she came from. She doesn't even know her full name. But that hasn't stopped her from having one heck of a good time. She spends her time evading tourists and making friends with the local wildlife. Her best friend is a river otter in Minnesota. And then she likes to swim with the lake trout around Isle Royale. And she shares spectral martinis, as we call it, with the shipwrecked ghost. But all of a sudden, there are whispers in the water and rumors of a strange threat that's killing the whitefish by the hundreds. And out of nowhere, she finds her home under attack. So she has to figure out where she came from and discover her dormant powers that lead to Gitche-Gumee's residents coming together to fight a battle to reclaim their waters. So you've got the furred animals, the fin fish, and the ectoplasmic, as we say, the ghosts that come together in the end. And it takes unexpected allies, divine intervention, and lots of pie. They eat a lot of food. I guess I'm kind of a foodie, and that comes out in the book. And I feel like this is kind of the mermaid tale we deserve, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
I grew up loving The Little Mermaid, and watching it as an adult, I still love it, but I kind of want more from it, you know?
Yes, it's not your typical mermaid story.
It's not a love story. It's
mm-hmm.
not spicy.
Mm-hmm.
It's about as spicy as ketchup.
I love that you were able to intertwine all of this. So as you were finishing writing of the book, did you feel you were done, or is there more to come from this?
Oh, there's definitely going to be more. I've got a few scenes written for book two. It's just I haven't gotten myself to sit down and just start writing. Because once I start writing, I can't stop. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I have to have everything in order before I get going.
No, I get that. I do get that. That makes a lot of sense. But I had a definite feeling that there was more to come, that you couldn't possibly be with this in one book.
My grandpa keeps dropping hints. Anytime they discover a new shipwreck, he sends me the news article. Like, hey, where's my next book?
Did you do research prior to this on shipwrecks?
No, not specifically. The background of the character Shirley is that she kind of worked with the Historical Society, but I've never really done anything like that.
All right.
I'm just a boring pharmacist. I got nothing else.
obviously not. So what was the research like when you decided you wanted to write this book about the shipwrecks? How did you go about the research and how deep did you dive, no pun intended, to research the shipwrecks on Lake Superior? Because as you said, there was like hundreds of them.
Yeah. So the internet is a magical place. And the Isle Row website actually had a lot of good information. And beyond that, if you Google and find old news articles, they could give you more fun facts. But there's a lot of information out there. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. I actually want to know more, you know. I wish they had color photographs and everything, but
yeah,
I'll take what I can get.
I find it fascinating just to wonder why there's so many shipwrecks on Lake Superior. Although I live near Lake Erie, and from what I understand, yeah, Lake Erie is widely regarded as having the most shipwrecks among all of the Great Lakes.
Yes, it's crazy.
Yeah, even to this day, I mean, Edmund Fitzgerald was in the 70s. I don't know how many big shipwrecks there have been since then. I haven't obviously kept track, but...
Yeah, there was a scare not too long ago, and everyone was sending me the article and with messages like, oh, it sounds like they need your mermaid's help. Mm-hmm. I might have to incorporate that into the next book.
Yes.
We can push a ship to safety or something.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Do you know anything about shipwreck hunters or the treasure hunters that search for shipwrecks? Have you researched any of that?
I haven't really heard about that in the Great Lakes so much. Mm-hmm. I've heard of it in the ocean for people looking for gold and whatnot.
Right.
I guess I could see stealing anything from a shipwreck would be worth something.
Yeah, I mean, I think from the Edmund Fitzgerald, they didn't find much, did they?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Sound like there's a lot of mystery around that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
And you know, the wreck of the Kamloops still does have human remains on it.
Really?
Yeah. Divers see it in there. It's interesting.
It really is. I imagine they have all kind of technology now, like sonar equipment and those type of things where they, you know, it might be easier to find some of these pieces.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Well, let's talk about the interior artwork. I found that everything was just so lovely and whimsical. Yeah, why did you decide to include that? And just tell us the process of that. Who did that?
So my good friend Jill Meyer is an artist, and she's kind of my adventure buddy. We went on a bear viewing trip together and really bonded. And it's kind of put together so that there's a character named after her on one of the ships, and that character's an artist. And in the end, you find out the pencil sketches at the beginning of each chapter were made by that character for the book. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a lot of fun. I gave her this big list of things I needed her to draw. And then she made that raven and just blew my mind. Mm-hmm. The raven is magnificent. Mm-hmm. And she also did the cover. And that's really cool, too. So when I was on Isle Royal with my dad fishing, I took a lot of pictures. And I took this really cool sunset photo in Malone Bay area. And I gave that to Jill and I said, can you paint this? Because she does wax painting and they use a blowtorch to kind of melt the wax into what they want. Mm-hmm. So she did this landscape to match my photograph out of wax. And that turned into this magnificent cover. I feel like my book is really pretty, so it's got that going for it.
It really does. There's a lot of elements outside of just the fabulous story that just make it quite a quite a gift, actually, to give to somebody, too, because it's a beautiful cover. And that artwork inside is just lovely. So congratulations to Jill.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to have somebody that's also a friend that you know will be by your side when you create future books. So you know you're not going to lose that person and have to find somebody else. That would be scary if you had a perfect person that did your artwork and then they, you know, decided to do something else or didn't have time to work with you.
Yeah, there's no backing out for her now, and she's going to laugh when she hears that.
You're part of it, Jill. Who has been your audience as you've gotten this book out here, out there? Who have you found has really embraced it?
There's been a complete mix of folks. Mm-hmm. Just basically people regionally up by Lake Superior. Mm-hmm. I had an interview on the morning TV show in Duluth, kind of right after my book came out. And then I had a book party up here where I sold out of all the books I had ordered. I didn't feel like Alaska would have that big of a following, but I've got some pretty cool friends. So I also found that people just who normally don't read fantasy books were interested because they heard it had local history in it from northern Minnesota area. There's a little bit of something for everyone in here. Oops. And even my mom said she doesn't normally read fantasy books. And she's definitely a book dragon. Like, there's probably 1,000 books in her, you know. I want to call it the hoarding room. It used to be my bedroom. But
the hoarding room. So a good
book hoarding room.
So a good comment from your mom is very meaningful.
Yeah, definitely.
When you decided to write this, you said you were just dedicated to writing. Your husband thought you were shopping. How quickly did it come about? And was it a daily writing, or what was your schedule like? What was the whole writing process like for you?
I had a work schedule back then that was kind of a week on, a week off. So I'd spend my days off doing a lot of writing. And at that point, I had just adopted a puppy. Mm-hmm. So she needed a lot of cuddling. That was her bio, was this dog likes to lay on a heating pad and cuddle. I'm like, well, cool. She sounds perfect. So I had the dog on my lap, balancing the laptop. I had the big dog on the other side, and I would just be pounding away at the keys. And I had this big piece of paper where I was writing all the notes and all my ideas that were coming to me. And the whole process probably took about 6-7 months, and I had a rough draft put together. Yeah, and then I reached out to Beaver's Prawn Press, and they assembled the dream team for me. And my editor, Paige, was really awesome at fact-checking me and just challenging me to make things more interesting and some points less wordy, because I'll describe every little detail. I'm very detail-oriented.
Yeah, you need someone to streamline that for you, especially when you've got a book that does involve research. It's very easy to go down that research rabbit hole and then get lost and start including all of these minute facts that are interesting, but perhaps not for the book.
Yeah. Once I started talking about like science and biology, I would just write a whole paragraph and she would say, you don't need this. You already said it. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I got excited.
No, I get that. I'm a researcher at heart, and so that would be a problem for me. I would tend to just because as we're talking right now, I'm just so fascinated to find out more about shipwrecks and, you know, why they happen and how the causes have changed over time. I imagine there's different causes today than there were back then.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the America, this is a fun fact. So that was the ship. It has no ghosts except for the dog. So the only casualty when it went down was a dog that they had tied up and didn't let go. And that just struck my heart because I'm a dog person. Mm-hmm. And the irony of it is the first mate who grounded the ship and drove into the ground, basically, his name was John Wick. And if you've ever watched the John Wick movie, he goes on this big revenge spree because someone killed his dog. So the irony of John Wick crashing the ship and then a dog dying because of it, it's a little too much for me.
That is something. Oh, my gosh. I'm sure
I should probably have included it. But
Yeah, you almost could do some kind of a appendix or something with all of this extra information. I'm sure you have a lot of other fun facts. Any that come to mind that you could share with us now?
Oh, geez. There's so many cool things out there. So the Kamloops that they visit really did go down with lifesavers and honeybee molasses.
Oh.
Because there's a joke made that, you know, in the event of emergency, the lifesavers really did little to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And on that boat, some of the people made it to land, but then they soon froze to death. But one of the women on the ship sent a message in a bottle for her dad to know that, you know, she made it to land and the ship had crashed and she was probably going to die. And it was found about a year later in Canada, I think. So.
Oh, my. She sent a
message. So that fact is referenced in the book, too.
Can you imagine sending a message in a bottle and hoping that it
would... Can you imagine?
Yeah, eventually hoping to...
It's just crazy. And then being on Isle Royale in November, even if you're on land, there wasn't a whole lot. I mean, in the middle of Lake Superior, I can only imagine how blustery and cold it gets.
So cold. Where is Isle Royale? Just give us an idea geographically.
So technically, it's a part of Michigan.
Okay.
But if you go by boat, it's closer to Minnesota. Okay. So when I went there, we went from northern Minnesota and boated over. But... it almost looks like it's the eye of the lake, if you think of Lake Superior as a head.
Yeah. So many fun facts. Yeah, you could almost do a fun fact or a separate book or something, because there's a lot. Or maybe on your website, because I'm sure there's just so much. And once your brain gets tickled with this, you really want to start knowing. Ever since I saw your book, I've been thinking about this. And if I had time, I'd love to dig into some research as well.
Yeah. And, you know, the wolf on the island, Rolf, is named after the Michigan Tech researcher who kind of leads the predator-prey study on the island. So it's the longest predator-prey study in the world between the moose and wolf, which is really fascinating to read about as well.
Didn't know that. Are there any museums that highlight or preserve any shipwreck effects?
Yes. So I think there's a... shipwreck or Lake Superior Museum somewhere in the UP.
Mm-hmm.
I forget where. If it's Eastern UP, I haven't been there so much. And then there's a small ship or maritime museum in Duluth, which I've been to a few times. And I go through and I take all the pictures of ships that are referenced in my book, anything I can find about them.
No, absolutely. I would imagine that a museum would be very inspiring to future books.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So we know that we've got book two coming along. Anything else book-wise? Are you thinking it's going to go into a series? Where do you think you're going to take that?
I think it'll be a series.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few ideas. I need more fun time. You know, I work too much.
I get it for sure. All right. Well, as we begin to wrap up, is there anything we missed or something you wanted to highlight regarding your book that you think our listeners should know about?
I guess I'll leave you with one more fun fact.
Please.
So there's a cow in the book named Betsy, and she was on a ship named the Cumberland. And this wasn't when the ship went down, but at one point the ship was too heavy and it was going to sink, and they had a bunch of livestock. So they started throwing them overboard, and that's how Betsy the cow came to be. And she's named Betsy because there was a cow that got loose from the Anchorage rodeo, and they weren't able to catch her. So she was wandering the bike trails, or ski trails, I guess. It was kind of winter when my friends were seeing her. And you would be biking or skiing along, and all of a sudden, oh, hey, there's a cow. So... Betsy was never captured back, and at one point her owner was like, well, I think she's probably dead by now. It's fine. And there were still sightings of her like a year later.
Oh.
So Betsy the rogue cow gets many accolades. She's a survivor.
She is a survivor. So many stories. I hope you do more with these stories. I'm fascinated by this. All righty. Well, how about sharing contact information where folks can find out more about you and get copies of the book, Mermaid, The Mermaid of Lake Superior?
Yeah, so my book is available Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And of course, I would say support your local bookstore if you're able. My website is www.hthemermaid.com. And that's also my Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok handle, hthemermaid.
Alrighty, hthemermaid.com. The book is titled The Mermaid of Lake Superior. We're speaking with Firebird Book Award-winning author Aurora Lothbrook. And obviously, this book is rich with fact, fantasy, and social issues. There's just so much involved that you need to get a copy of it. Go to hthemermaid.com. Thank you, Aurora, for sharing.
Thank you so much for having me. You're delightful. We should do this again.
Absolutely. I enjoyed talking with you. And yeah, come back anytime.
Thank you so much.